Please turn with me to our text for this morning, which is John chapter 1 and verse 29. In the Bible reading, I read the surrounding verses to give us the context of this verse, but this one verse here in 29 will be our text for this morning. John 1:29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus has many titles. He's the Son of God. He's the Christ, the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's the Saviour. He's the Redeemer. He's the Teacher. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's God. God in the flesh. And there are many others recorded for us in the scriptures. Here's another one, the Lamb of God. So why is Jesus called the Lamb of God? Well, the very first mention of a lamb in scripture is very early on in the book of Genesis. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22 and verses 7 and 8. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. These words are part of a story where God tests Abraham's faith by telling him to go and sacrifice his only son. And along the journey, Isaac clues on to the fact that they don't have the lamb for the offering. And Abraham knows that's because Isaac is the lamb that will be sacrificed. And many of you recall the story right at the last moment, as Abraham's about to kill his only son, God tells him to stop. And he passed the test, and Isaac was spared from being killed. And there was a lamb caught in the thicket close by, and God did provide the lamb for the sacrifice. But this is also a clear picture, a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham's words, "God himself will provide the lamb," are also prophetic. And not just referring to the lamb that was caught in the thicket that was sacrificed in place of Isaac. God himself would provide the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Abraham's words were prophetic. They were pointing forward to when God wouldn't spare his only son like he spared Abraham's, but he would give him up for us, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have our sins washed away. The next significant reference to a lamb in Scripture is in the very next book of the Bible, in Exodus. Please turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus Exodus 12, verses 21 to 23. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down." This is another significant event in Israel's history, again involving a lamb. A lamb was to be slain, and the blood of the lamb was to be put on the doorposts so that the angel, the destroyer, who would take the lives of the firstborn in Egypt, would pass over those houses. Again, picturing the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the blood over the doorposts that was the signal of being protected from this angel who would kill the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. And as many of you know, that was the 10th and final plague that God brought upon the Egyptians for their refusal to listen to him, for their refusal to stop worshipping their own gods and submit to the one true God, and their refusal to let God's people go so that they might worship him freely. But again, it was a lamb pointing forward to the Lamb of God who would be slain, and his blood would be shed and poured out for the forgiveness of the sins of many people. That's why when we get to the New Testament, we see Paul say these words in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Paul says, "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." Paul clearly says that that Passover lamb was pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And we notice then also, as we read on in 1 Corinthians and as we celebrate here at church every 3 months, the Lord's Supper replaced the Passover. The Passover that had been held and celebrated by the Jewish people for a very long time, 1500 years or so, all of a sudden Jesus changes it and says, "This is about me." And we, as Christians, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which was the fulfillment of the Passover that the Jewish people celebrated. It was pointing to him, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Then the very next book in the Bible after Exodus, Leviticus, is full of lambs being sacrificed. Laws about sacrifice, that the Israelites would have to bring a lamb or some other animal to be sacrificed. The animal would be killed so that God's people could keep on living. But someone had to die. Something had to die. The animal was foreshadowing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this practice was continued throughout the rest of the Old Testament, that lambs were sacrificed over and over and over again so that God's people could keep on living, so that they could receive forgiveness of sins. So why sacrifices? Why did animals have to be sacrificed so that God's wrath would be turned away from his people, so that they could continue in relationship with him? Well, Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The wages of sin is death." An animal would die so they could keep on living. God must punish sin because he's holy, because he's righteous, because he's just. He must punish sin because of who he is. But in his kindness and in his grace, he made a way for the Israelites to be forgiven, to have relationship with him. Animals who had done no sin, who were innocent, would be slaughtered. And again, it was a picture. When we get to Hebrews, we see the writer of Hebrews say it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. They didn't ultimately remove sin, and that's why the priests had to come in year after year after year and offer sacrifices. The people had to keep bringing their lambs to sacrifice so they could keep being in relationship with God. It was pointing forward to the Lamb of God who would come and deal with our sin once for all. So why Jesus, a man, not a lamb? Jesus was also God. The lambs were temporary. They were pointing to him, God who would become flesh, the only one who could permanently remove sins, the only one who could deal with sin once and for all. God punished himself in the person of his son. That was the only way that we could be forgiven. That was the only way that we could be reconciled to a God who is perfectly holy and righteous and just. Only Jesus can take away sin forever. Only God can satisfy his own justice. So why do we need the Lamb of God? Because we're sinners. Because we need our sins to be taken away. Because we've all turned away from God. And we're all deserving of his judgment. We need the Lamb of God. We need his blood to wash our sin away. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, is our only hope of forgiveness. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, because it's impossible to come any other way. Jesus was simply telling people the truth by saying he's the only way to God. And we love people by telling them the same thing. I know that in our society today, we'll be called bigots. We'll be called exclusive. We'll be called, there are lots of other terms that we'll be called. But basically, the world can't understand that to say Jesus is the only way is the most loving thing we could ever tell someone. That they actually have a chance of having their sins forgiven. But no, then you're not including other religions. You're not including other people. They just fail to see that what people need is the truth. It's not inclusivity. It's the truth. It's Jesus Christ that people need. So let's not be ashamed to speak up. To speak the truth, even though it's politically incorrect. And even though, look, down the track we might lose employment. I don't know of anyone in our church who has yet. Certainly Israel Folau lost his job and is going through, you know, the court proceedings at the moment. But he spoke up. He spoke God's word and he was punished for it. I'm glad that he wasn't ashamed to speak the truth, actually to lovingly warn sinners that God's judgment is coming. And that's not pleasant to think about. It's not a topic that's sort of polite dinner conversation. It's going to make people feel uncomfortable. But God's judgment is coming. And not just for those who practice certain sins, but for all sinners, and we're all sinners. But that's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we need to tell people that. Because in fact, people don't need the Lamb of God if there is no judgment. If God just forgives everyone, if everyone gets led into heaven, there's no need for a lamb to die in the place of sinners. But God's judgment is coming, and the Lamb of God is our escape. We find forgiveness in him. And not just forgiveness, we have eternal life. We get to live forever with the God who made us and the God who saved us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to know the God who is infinitely glorious and infinitely gracious and infinitely loving and infinitely merciful. We have eternal life through this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I want to close by reading a passage from the book of Revelation. You don't need to turn there if you don't want to. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 12. It's a beautiful picture. People from every tongue, tribe, and nation worshipping God in heaven forever and ever because of the Lamb. That this is made possible because of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Revelation 7, 9 to 12. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son, your Lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that you sent him to die in our place. Father, we don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve your grace. We don't deserve your love. We know that the only thing we deserve is your judgment, that would be perfectly fair. But Father, thank you that you chose not to show us fairness, that you chose not to treat us like our sins deserve, but that you chose to pour out your grace and your mercy and your saving love on sinners like us. Father, thank you that you sent your only Son to suffer and die for us. Father, we will never understand how much that cost you, how much it cost him. We will never understand the depth of God dying for sinful human beings. But Father, we know because your word tells us that it's because of that that we are forgiven, because of that that our sins are washed away. Because of that, we have eternal life with you, the infinitely glorious God. Father, please help us to praise you every day for the Lamb of God, and that we would live wholeheartedly for you each day in response to your astonishing grace to us. Amen.